trouble. He was looking to make some easy money for little work, and he was easily persuaded to move people and run errands for folks on our target list. While he openly admits that he helped move people, it's pretty well established that the vast majority of his work involved seeking medical care and providing housing for family members of Tahir Jan's Uzbek organization. There simply is no smoking gun that we can refer to that would justify our continued holding of Jannat Gul at a site such as Detention Site Black. It should be noted, however, that Jannat Gul has made what I think is great progress. He fingered Asset Y as a fabricator and has been generally responsive to requirements, though it must be said, he never had access to most of the information we seek from him.
On April 6, 2005, as the OLC approached completion of its analysis of the legality of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the OLC asked the CIA about the interrogation of Gul using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, specifically, what the CIA got from Jannat Gul, was it valuable, and did it help anything? The CIA did not immediately respond to this request, and the CIA's Associate General Counsel, redacted, noted that OLC personnel had taken to calling him daily for information. On April 14, 2005, a CIA officer emailed redacted talking points stating that Pakistan-based facilitator Jannat Gul's most significant reporting helped us validate a CIA asset who was providing information about the 2004 pre-election threat. The asset claimed that Gul had arranged a meeting between himself and Al-Qaeda's chief of finance, Sheikh Saeed, a claim that Gul vehemently denied. Gul's reporting was later matched with information obtained from Sharif al-Masri and Abu Talha, captured after Gul. With this reporting in hand, CIA redacted the asset, who subsequently admitted to fabricating his reporting about the meeting. On May 10, 2005, the OLC issued a formal memorandum that included a discussion of the legality of the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Jannat Gul. Citing information provided in the CIA's August 25, 2004 letter, the OLC memorandum stated, "You asked for advice concerning these interrogation techniques in connection with their use on a specific high-value Al-Qaeda detainee named Jannat Gul. You informed us that the CIA believed Gul had information about Al-Qaeda's plan to launch an attack within the United States. According to the CIA's information, Gul had extensive connections to various Al-Qaeda leaders, members of the Taliban, and the Al-Zarqawi network, and had arranged meetings between an associate and Al-Qaeda's finance chief to discuss such an attack. Our conclusions depend on these assessments." On May 30, 2005, the OLC issued a memorandum concluding that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against CIA detainees did not violate Article 16 of the Convention Against Torture. In the memorandum, Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General Stephen G. Bradbury used the example of Jannat Gul as a detainee who was representative of the high-value detainees on whom enhanced techniques have been or might be used. Citing information from the CIA's August 25, 2004 letter, Bradbury wrote, "The CIA believed that Jannat Gul had actionable intelligence concerning the pre-election threat to the United States. Gul had extensive connections to various Al-Qaeda leaders, members of the Taliban, and the Al-Zarqawi network, and intelligence indicated that Gul had arranged a meeting between a redacted source and Al-Qaeda finance chief, Sheikh Saeed, at which elements of the pre-election threat were discussed. As noted, the CIA had represented that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was necessary for Jannat Gul to provide information on an imminent threat to the United States, the pre-election threat. As further noted, Gul did not provide this information, and records indicate that the threat was based on fabricated CIA source reporting. When the OLC requested the results of using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Jannat Gul, the CIA represented that Gul has provided information that has helped the CIA with validating one of its key assets reporting on the pre-election threat. This information was included in the May 30, 2005 OLC memorandum, which also stated that Gul's information contradicted the asset's contention that Gul met with Sheikh Saeed. and that, armed with Gould's assertions, the CIA redacted the asset, who then admitted that he had lied about the meeting. There are no indications in the memorandum that the CIA informed the OLC that CIA officers had concluded that Gould had no information about the pre-election threat and had determined that Gould was not the man we thought he was. As noted, after the May 30, 2005 OLC memorandum, the CIA continued to represent that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques allowed the CIA to validate sources. 8. The identification and arrests of Uzair and Saif Allah Paracha. The CIA represented that information obtained through the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques produced otherwise unavailable intelligence that led to the identification and/or arrest of Uzair Paracha and his father, Saif Allah Paracha, a.k.a. Saif el-Rahman Paracha. These CIA representations include inaccurate information and omit significant material information, specifically a body of intelligence reporting acquired prior to CIA detainee reporting that linked the Parachas to al-Qaeda-related activities. CIA representations also credit the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques with the identification of a plot to smuggle explosives into the United States involving the Parachas. CIA records indicate that the plotting was denied by the supposed participants and that at least one senior CIA counterterrorism official questioned the plausibility of the explosives smuggling plot given the relative ease of acquiring explosive material in the United States. The CIA provided information to the CIA Office of Inspector General that EITs, including the Water Board, have been indispensable to our successes, and stated that the CIA OIG Special Review should have come to the conclusion that our efforts have thwarted attacks and saved lives. The CIA further represented to the OIG that KSM provided information that helped lead to the arrest of Uzair Paracha, a smuggler, and that, as a result of the lawful use of EITs, KSM identified a mechanism for al-Qaeda to smuggle explosives into the U.S. via a Pakistani businessman and textile merchant who shipped his material to the U.S. The businessman had agreed to use this method to help al-Qaeda smuggle in explosives for follow-on attacks to 9/11. Similarly, on July 29, 2003, the CIA made a presentation to a select group of National Security Council principals, including Vice President Cheney, seeking policy reaffirmation of the CIA interrogation program. The CIA briefing materials state that the use of the CIA interrogation techniques has produced significant results and warned that termination of this CIA program will result in loss of life, possibly extensive. The CIA conveyed that major threats were countered and attacks averted, and under a briefing slide entitled Results, Major Threat Info, represented that information obtained from KSM after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques led to identification of Saif Allah Paracha. A widely disseminated CIA intelligence assessment, entitled Detainee Reporting Pivotal for the War Against Al-Qaeda, that was described in internal CIA emails as being put together using past assessments and initially intended for the White House only, with marching orders to throw everything in it, states, since 11 September 2001, detainee reporting has become a crucial pillar of U.S. counterterrorism efforts, aiding operations to capture additional terrorists, helping to thwart terrorist plots. KSM's revelation in March 2003 that he was plotting with Saif al-Rahman Paracha, who also used the name Saif Allah al-Rahman Paracha, to smuggle explosives into the United States for a planned attack in New York, prompted the FBI to investigate Paracha's business ties to the United States. CIA representations related to the identification of the Parachas and/or the arrest of Uzair Paracha, as well as the identification of an explosives smuggling plot, omit significant information acquired by the intelligence community prior to any reporting from CIA detainees. Specifically, prior to KSM's reporting, the intelligence community had already collected and acted upon significant information related to the Paracha family's connections to al-Qaeda and international terrorism. Information on Saifullah Paracha was found in documents seized during a March 28, 2002 raid against al-Qaeda targets associated with Hassan Ghul, which resulted in the capture of Abu Zubaydah. The documents identified Saifullah Paracha and phone numbers which would be associated with his Karachi-based business, International Merchandise Private Limited, as early as April 2002. An address associated with the business was also identified. The name Saifullah Paracha was provided to Pakistani officials by the CIA in December 2002. The CIA wrote, "Information below leads us to believe that the following individual and phone numbers may have a connection to al-Qaeda and international terrorism. We request your assistance in investigating this individual to determine if he is involved in terrorist activity." The request included three phone numbers found in the document seized on March 28, 2002, one of which was associated with Saifullah Paracha's Karachi-based company, International Merchandise Private Limited. In April 2002, the FBI opened an investigation on another, redacted, at a New York-based business associated with Saifullah Paracha. During the course of the investigation, the FBI interviewed an employer at a New York address and acquired additional information on the business and the Parachas. Redacted's business card, identifying him as an employee of International Merchandise Limited, was found among documents seized during the April 2002 Karachi raid. Months later, financial documents seized during the September 11, 2002 raids that resulted in the capture of Ramzi bin al-Shib identified an email address attributed to International Merchandise Private Limited with the same contact, Saifullah A. Paracha, as well as the same address and phone number as the business identified after the March 2002 raid. Based on the information obtained during the September 2002 raids, the CIA informed the FBI, the NSA, and the Department of Treasury that they suspected Saifullah Paracha was engaged in terrorist financing activities specifically for al-Qaeda. The cable included detailed information on Saifullah Paracha and International Merchandise Private Limited in Karachi, and noted the CIA's ongoing interest in and analysis of the information. FBI investigative activity of terrorism subject Ayman Faris found that Faris was linked to Karachi imports via his Ohio-based housemates. Majid Khan, who was in foreign government custody, provided reporting that Uzair ran the New York branch of his father's Karachi-based import-export business. According to the reporting, Uzair was assisting Majid Khan and Amar al-Baluchi in their efforts to resettle Majid Khan in the United States for terrorism-related purposes. Khan provided a detailed physical description of both Uzair and his father. KSM was captured on March 1, 2003. On March redacted 2003, KSM was rendered to CIA custody and immediately subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. A CIA interrogation report from March 24, 2003 states that during the afternoon, KSM continued to be subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including the waterboard, for failing to provide information on operations in the United States, and for having lied about poison and biological warfare programs. That evening, KSM's interrogators received reports on information being provided by Majid Khan, who was in foreign government custody, and being interviewed by FBI special agents and foreign government officers. The information included details on a U.S.-based individual associated with al-Qaeda named Uzair. According to Khan, this Uzair ran the New York branch of his father's Karachi-based import-export business. CIA cables describe KSM as being boxed in by reporting from Majid Khan before providing the following information on the Parachas and a smuggling plot. KSM corroborated reporting from Majid Khan that Amar al-Baluchi and Majid Khan approached Uzair Paracha for assistance in resettling Majid Khan in the United States. KSM stated that he was close to Uzair's father, Saif al-Rahman Paracha, who provided assistance through his business and by helping to find safe houses in Karachi. KSM claimed that Amar al-Baluchi and Majid Khan approached Saif al-Rahman Paracha with a plan to use Saif al-Rahman Paracha's textile business to smuggle explosives into the United States. KSM stated that Paracha agreed to this plan and was arranging the details with Omar al-Baluchi and Majid Khan at the time of his, KSM's, capture. A later CIA cable provided additional background, stating, KSM did not volunteer the explosive plot information on Paracha. He provided this reporting only when confronted with the details on his role and other information on the plot, which had been provided by detainee Majid Khan, who was in foreign government custody. According to CIA records, on March 28, 2003, at a FBI field office, Uzair Paracha provided significant information to interviewing FBI special agents on his father's links to al-Qaeda and his own efforts to assist Majid Khan's reentry to the United States. Uzair denied knowing anything about an explosive smuggling plot. On April 29, 2003, Omar al-Baluchi was detained by Pakistani authorities as a result of reporting unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program. Records indicate Omar al-Baluchi provided significant information prior to being transferred to CIA custody. On May, redacted, 2003, Omar al-Baluchi was rendered to CIA custody and immediately subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The CIA stopped using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Omar al-Baluchi on May 20, 2003. A June 18, 2003 cable states that Omar al-Baluchi denied that he and Saif al-Rahman Paracha agreed to smuggle explosives into the United States. Omar al-Baluchi stated he only asked Saif al-Rahman Paracha questions and made inquiries about how explosive shipping could be done. Omar al-Baluchi maintained that he did not take any action based on the discussion. On July 5, 2003, Saif al-Paracha was detained in Redacted in an operation orchestrated by the FBI. Shortly thereafter, Saif al-Paracha was rendered to U.S. military custody at Bagram Air Force Base. At Bagram, Saif al-Paracha was questioned by an FBI special agent. A CIA cable from July 17, 2003, relays that Saif al-Paracha stated that Omar al-Baluchi had asked if he knew a forwarding agent who could ship garments and materials to Europe, which Saif al-Paracha inferred were either explosives or chemicals. Paracha stated that he had no information to provide Omar al-Baluchi on this topic, and that no further action was taken on the matter. With regards to the explosive smuggling reporting, a senior CIA counterterrorism official commented, "Again, another KSM op worthy of the lamentable knuckleheads. Why smuggle in explosives when you can get them here? Neither fertilizer for bombs or regular explosives are that hard to come by. Ramzi Youssef came to CONUS with a suitcase and 100 bucks and got everything he needed right here. This may be true, but it just seems damn odd to me." 9. Critical intelligence alerting the CIA to Jafar al-Tayyar. The CIA made repeated claims that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques resulted in key intelligence from Abu Zubaydah and KSM on an operative named Jafar al-Tayyar, later identified as Adnan el-Shukr Juma. These CIA representations frequently asserted that information obtained from KSM after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques resulted in an FBI investigation that prompted al-Tayyar to flee the United States. These representations were inaccurate. KSM was captured on March 1, 2003. Jafar al-Tayyar departed the United States in May 2001.
Note, 2015. The CIA's June 2013 response states that there were cases in which we either made a factual error or used imprecise language, but these mistakes were not central to our representations, and none invalidates our assessment that detainee reporting provided key intelligence on this important terrorist. As one of two examples, the CIA's June 2013 response acknowledges that the CIA incorrectly stated al-Tayyar fled the United States in response to the FBI investigation, although he had in fact already departed the United States by this time. The committee found that this inaccurate statement was central to the CIA's representations. The CIA asserted that Jafar al-Tayyar fled the United States because of KSM's reporting after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in the context of representations that the use of the techniques has been a key reason why Al-Qaeda has failed to launch a spectacular attack in the West.
CIA representations also omitted key contextual facts, including that, one, the intelligence community was interested in the Florida-based Adnan El-Shukr Juma prior to the detention of the CIA's first detainee. Two, CIA detainee Abu Zubaydah provided a description and information on a KSM associate named Jafar Al-Tayyar to FBI special agents in May 2002, prior to being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Three, CIA personnel distrusted KSM's reporting on Jafar Al-Tayyar, stating that KSM fabricated information and had inserted Al-Tayyar into practically every story, each time with a different role. Four, other CIA detainee reporting differed from KSM's reporting in significant ways. And five, CIA records indicate that KSM did not identify Al-Tayyar's true name and that it was Jose Padilla, in military custody and being questioned by the FBI, who provided Al-Tayyar's true name as Adnan El-Shukr Juma. Finally, the CIA attributed to KSM the characterization of Al-Tayyar as the next Muhammad Atta, despite clarifications from KSM to the contrary. For example, in a March 2, 2005 CIA memorandum with the subject line, Effectiveness of the CIA Counterterrorist Interrogation Techniques, the CIA responded to a request from the Office of Legal Counsel for the intelligence the agency obtained from detainees who, before their interrogations, were not providing any information of intelligence value. Under a section entitled Results, the CIA stated, CIA's use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture additional terrorists, and collect a high volume of critical intelligence on Al-Qaeda. We believe that intelligence acquired from these interrogations has been a key reason why Al-Qaeda has failed to launch a spectacular attack in the West since 11 September 2001. Key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques. The CIA then listed Jafar Al-Tayyar as one of 11 examples, stating, Jafar Al-Tayyar. Tayyar is an Al-Qaeda operative who was conducting casing in the U.S. for KSM prior to 9/11, according to KSM and other HVDs. KSM confirmed that he recruited Tayyar, who is still at large, to conduct a major operation against U.S. interests. KSM described Tayyar as the next Muhammad Atta. Tayyar's family is in Florida, and we have identified many of his extremist contacts. Acting on this information, the FBI quickly publicized Tayyar's true name and aggressively followed up with his family and friends in the United States, causing Tayyar to flee the United States. Redacted, and we are actively pursuing his capture. Redacted. In January 2009, the CIA compiled a detailed briefing book. CIA Director Hayden produced his own prepared remarks for a three-hour briefing on the CIA's detention and interrogation program for President-elect Obama's National Security Staff. Included in the materials was a document entitled Key Impacts, which states, Results. CIA's use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture additional terrorists, and collect a high volume of critical intelligence on Al-Qaeda. We believe that intelligence acquired from these interrogations has been a key reason why Al-Qaeda has failed to launch a spectacular attack in the West since 11 September 2001. Key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques. Jafar Al-Tayyar. Tayyar is an Al-Qaeda operative who was conducting casing in the U.S. for KSM prior to 9/11, according to KSM and other HVDs. KSM confirmed that he recruited Tayyar, who is still at large, to conduct a major operation against U.S. interests. KSM described Tayyar as the next Muhammad Atta. Tayyar's family is in Florida, and we have identified many of his extremist contacts. Acting on this information, the FBI quickly publicized Tayyar's true name and aggressively followed up with his family and friends in the United States, causing Tayyar to flee the United States. Redacted and we are actively pursuing his capture. Redacted. Prior to receiving information from the CIA's detention and interrogation program, the U.S. intelligence community was interested in Adnan El-Shukr Juma. According to CIA and open-source records, the FBI interviewed the parents of Adnan El-Shukr Juma several times between September 2001 and October 2002 concerning their son and his suspected contact with a known extremist. The family provided no significant information on their son, except to alert the FBI that he had departed the United States circa May 2001. CIA representations that Jafar Al-Tayyar fled the United States in 2003 in response to an investigation prompted by reporting from KSM were incongruent with CIA records at the time of the representations, which indicated that Al-Tayyar had already relocated to Pakistan. In March 2003, when Jose Padilla identified Jafar Al-Tayyar as Adnan El-Shukr Juma, he stated that he had last seen Al-Tayyar at a KSM safe house in Karachi, Pakistan, in March 2002. Other reporting indicated Al-Tayyar's presence in Pakistan in 2002 and 2003 as well. For example, KSM consistently reported that Al-Tayyar was not in the United States and noted during a 2004 interrogation that Al-Tayyar would not return to the United States because his name was known to U.S. authorities. Further, redacted. On May 20, 2002, prior to the initiation of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and while being questioned by FBI special agents, CIA detainee Abu Zubaydah provided information on Abu Jafar Al-Tayyar in the context of discussing associates of KSM. Abu Zubaydah provided a detailed description of Abu Jafar Al-Tayyar and stated that he was an English speaker who had studied in the United States. Abu Zubaydah stated that he first met Abu Jafar Al-Tayyar in Birmal, Afghanistan, circa January 2002, and that Abu Jafar Al-Tayyar was at that time seeking to travel to Pakistan. Abu Zubaydah repeated that Abu Jafar Al-Tayyar spoke very good English and was short and stocky with black hair and dark skin. Abu Zubaydah did not provide significant additional information on Abu Jafar Al-Tayyar after the CIA used its enhanced interrogation techniques against him in August 2002.
Note, 2033. For example, in January 2003, a CIA cable stated that Abu Zubaydah repeated that Al-Tayyar studied in the United States. The only new information provided by Abu Zubaydah was that Al-Tayyar's nickname, the pilot, did not necessarily mean that Al-Tayyar could fly an airplane. Abu Zubaydah explained to CIA officers that the term the pilot also means someone who is righteous.
On September 11, 2002, Ramzi bin al-Shib was captured in Karachi, Pakistan. During the capture operation, a letter referencing Jafar Al-Tayyar was seized. According to a translation of the letter, it stated, "Tell an unidentified pilot named Jafar that he should be ready for travel." Shortly after his capture, bin al-Shib was rendered to foreign government custody. In November 2002, while still in foreign government custody, bin al-Shib was questioned on Jafar the pilot and provided a physical description of Jafar. On March 1, 2003, KSM was captured. A notebook associated with KSM retrieved during the capture operation included the name Jafar Al-Tayyar. After his capture, KSM was rendered to CIA custody and immediately subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. On March 7, 2003, CIA headquarters sent information on Jafar Al-Tayyar to the CIA's detention site Blue, where KSM was located, for use in the interrogation of KSM. The documents included the following. A targeting study on Jafar Al-Tayyar completed by the CIA in January 2003. A letter from KSM to bin al-Shib referencing Jafar the pilot and indicating that Jafar ought to prepare himself to smuggle himself from Mexico into an unspecified country. A letter from Jafar Al-Tayyar to Ramzi bin al-Shib asking for clarification of KSM's letter and additional background and reporting information on Jafar Al-Tayyar. The requirements cable from CIA headquarters to the detention site included numerous specific questions, relying on the information already known about Jafar Al-Tayyar. According to CIA records, on March 9, 2003, while KSM was being interrogated using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, but before he was subjected to the waterboard interrogation technique, the CIA interrogation team used two letters referencing Al-Tayyar as the interrogation vehicle to elicit information from KSM on Jafar Al-Tayyar. CIA cables state that KSM did not provide and claimed not to know Jafar Al-Tayyar's true name. However, KSM stated that Jafar Al-Tayyar's father lived in Florida and was named Shukri Shudil. This information was not accurate. Open source reporting indicates that Jafar Al-Tayyar's father's true name was Gulser El-Shukri Juma. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, during the period when KSM was being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including the waterboard, KSM referred to Jafar Al-Tayyar as being engaged in multiple terrorist operations. As a result, the CIA's detention site began describing Jafar as the all-purpose Al-Tayyar, whom KSM had woven into practically every story, each time with a different role. CIA records confirm that KSM made numerous statements about Jafar Al-Tayyar's terrorist plotting that were deemed not to be credible by CIA personnel, including but not limited to statements that Al-Tayyar was engaged in terrorist plotting with Jose Padilla. Al-Tayyar was engaged in terrorist plots against Heathrow Airport. Al-Tayyar was involved in terrorist plotting with Majid Khan. And Al-Tayyar was engaged in an assassination plot against former President Jimmy Carter. On March 12, 2003, when KSM was confronted with a page in his notebook about Al-Tayyar, KSM stated that he considered Al-Tayyar to be the next emir for an attack against the U.S., in the same role that Mohammed Atta had for 11 September. On March 16, 2003, KSM stated that the only comparison between Atta and Al-Tayyar was their education and experience in the West. An email exchange the afternoon of March 18, 2003, between CIA personnel expressed the views of interrogators and officers at CIA headquarters with regard to KSM and Jafar Al-Tayyar. The email from KSM debriefer Redacted stated, "We've finally gotten KSM to admit that Al-Tayyar is meant for a plan in the U.S., but I'm still not sure he's fessing up as to what Jafar's role, plan, really is. Today he's working with Majid Khan, yesterday the London crowd, the day before Padilla, you get the point. Anyway, I'm still worried he might be misdirecting us on Jafar." An officer from CIA headquarters responded, "I agree. KSM is yanking our chain about Jafar. Really trying hard to throw us off course. Suggesting whatever Jafar really is up to must be bad." The officer noted that another big hole is Jafar's true name and relayed that KSM's use of another Abu name, Abu Arif, doesn't get us far. When KSM was confronted with the reporting he had provided on Jafar Al-Tayyar, KSM claimed that he had been forced to lie about Al-Tayyar because of the pressure he was under from his CIA interrogators, who had been subjecting KSM to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques since his rendition to CIA custody. Additional CIA records from this period indicate that, while KSM claimed not to know Jafar Al-Tayyar's true name, KSM suggested that Jose Padilla, then in U.S. military custody, would know his name. According to CIA records, the FBI began participating in the military debriefings of Jose Padilla in March 2003, after KSM reported Padilla might know the true name of a U.S.-bound al-Qaeda operative known at the time only as Jafar Al-Tayyar. Padilla confirmed Jafar Al-Tayyar's true name as Adnan El-Shukri Juma. In March 2003, a senior CTC officer noted differences between KSM's reporting and reporting from Ramzi bin al-Shib. In April 2003, an intelligence community assessment concluded, based on comments from other detainees, including those not in CIA custody, that it seemed obvious that KSM was lying with regard to Jafar Al-Tayyar. In July 2003, After Ammar al-Baluchi stated that Jafar al-Tayyar was not suited to be an operative and was not doing much of anything, the deputy chairman of the Community Counterterrorism Board warned, "If KSM is pulled off focusing us on a person who is actually no threat, it would mean that our interrogation techniques have not broken down his resistance to any appreciable extent, and that we will have to doubt even more strongly anything he says." In December 2005, an NCTC Red Team report entitled "Jafar al-Tayyar, an Unlikely Al-Qaeda Operational Threat," highlighted the possibility that the information provided by KSM on al-Tayyar's capabilities and terrorist plotting was simply deception. The report described a large body of other detainee reporting, from Abu Faraj al-Libi, Abu Talha al-Pakistani, Abd al-Rahim Ghulam Rabbani, and Ammar al-Baluchi, consisting of largely dismissive statements about Jafar al-Tayyar's capabilities and role in al-Qaeda. 10. The identification and arrest of Saleh al-Mahri. The CIA represented to the CIA Office of Inspector General that as a result of the lawful use of EITs, KSM provided information that helped lead to the arrests of terrorists, including Saleh al-Mahri, a sleeper operative in New York. This information was included in the final version of the OIG's May 2004 special review under the heading Effectiveness. This CIA representation is inaccurate. KSM was captured on March 1, 2003. Saleh al-Mahri was arrested in December 2001. The inaccurate statements about al-Mahri to the OIG began with the July 16, 2003 OIG interview of Deputy Chief of ALEC Station, redacted, and were repeated in DDO Pavitt's formal response to the draft OIG special review. The inaccurate statements were then included in the final May 2004 special review. The effectiveness section of the special review was used repeatedly as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including in CIA representations to the Department of Justice. The passage in the OIG special review that includes the inaccurate CIA representation that KSM provided information helping to lead to the arrest of al-Mahri was referenced in the May 30, 2005 OLC memorandum analyzing the legality of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The portion of the special review discussing al-Mahri has been declassified, as has the OLC memorandum. The CIA also represented, in Pavitt's formal response to the OIG, that prior to reporting from KSM, the CIA possessed no concrete information on al-Mahri. This representation is incongruent with CIA records. CIA records indicate that prior to the CIA's detention of KSM, the CIA possessed significant information on al-Mahri, who was arrested after making attempts to contact a telephone number associated with al-Qaeda member and suspected 9/11 facilitator Mustafa al-Hassawi. CIA records indicate that al-Mahri had suspicious information on his computer upon his arrest, that al-Mahri's brother had traveled to Afghanistan in 2001 to join in jihad against the United States, and that al-Mahri was directly associated with KSM as well as with al-Hassawi. The FBI also had extensive records on al-Mahri. On March 26, 2002, a year before any reporting from KSM, the FBI provided the committee with biographical and derogatory information on al-Mahri, including al-Mahri's links to Mustafa al-Hassawi, suspicious information found on al-Mahri's computer, and al-Mahri's connection to other extremists.
11. The collection of critical tactical intelligence on Chikai, Pakistan. In the context of the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the CIA represented to policymakers over several years that key intelligence was obtained from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques that revealed Chikai, Pakistan, to be a major al-Qaeda hub in the tribal areas and resulted in tactical intelligence, redacted, in Chikai, Pakistan. These CIA representations were based on the CIA's experience with one CIA detainee, Hassan Ghul. While CIA records indicate that Hassan Ghul did provide information on Shikai, Pakistan. A review of CIA records found that 1. The vast majority of this information, including the identities, activities, and locations of senior al-Qaeda operatives in Shikai, was provided prior to Hassan Gul being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 2. CIA's, redacted, assess that Gul's reporting prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques contained sufficient detail to press the Pakistani, redacted, and 3. The CIA assessed that the information provided by Gul corroborated earlier reporting that the Shikai Valley of Pakistan served as al-Qaeda's command and control center after the group's 2001 exodus from Afghanistan. As an example of one of the CIA's representations on Shikai, Pakistan, and the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, on March 2, 2005, the CIA responded to a request from the OLC for the intelligence the agency obtained from detainees who, before their interrogations, were not providing any information of intelligence value. The resulting CIA memorandum, with the subject line, Effectiveness of the CIA Counterterrorist Interrogation Techniques, included the following under the heading, Results. CIA's use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture additional terrorists, and collect a high volume of critical intelligence on al-Qaeda. We believe that intelligence acquired from these interrogations has been a key reason why al-Qaeda has failed to launch a spectacular attack in the West since 11 September 2001. Key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques. The CIA then listed Shikai, Pakistan as an example, stating, Shikai, Pakistan. The interrogation of Hassan Gul provided detailed tactical intelligence showing that Shikai, Pakistan was a major al-Qaeda hub in the tribal areas. Through use of, redacted, during the Gul interrogation, we mapped out and pinpointed the residences of key AQ leaders in Shikai. This intelligence was provided, redacted. The CIA representation that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques produced otherwise unavailable tactical intelligence related to Shikai, Pakistan, was provided to senior policymakers and the Department of Justice between 2004 and 2009. Hassan Gul was captured on January, redacted, 2004 by foreign authorities in the Iraqi Kurdistan region. Gul was reportedly first interrogated by, redacted, then transferred to U.S. military custody and questioned and then rendered to CIA custody on January, redacted, 2004.
Note, 2085. On April 16, 2013, the Council on Foreign Relations hosted a forum in relation to the screening of the film Manhunt. The forum included former CIA officer Nada Bakos, who states in the film that Hassan Gul provided critical information on Abu Ahmed al-Kuwaiti's connection to UBL to Kurdish officials prior to entering CIA custody. When asked about the interrogation techniques used by the Kurds, Bakos stated, "Honestly, Hassan Gul, when he was being debriefed by the Kurdish government, he literally was sitting there having tea. He was in a safe house. He wasn't locked up in a cell. He wasn't handcuffed to anything. He was having a free-flowing conversation. And there's articles in Kurdish papers about sort of their interpretation of the story and how forthcoming he was."
Hassan Gul spent 2 days at detention site Cobalt before being transferred to the CIA's detention site Black on January, redacted, 2004. Prior to his capture, the CIA assessed that Gul possessed substantial knowledge of al-Qaeda facilities and procedures in Wana and Shikai, Pakistan. During Hassan Gul's 2 days at detention site Cobalt, CIA interrogators did not use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Gul. Instead, CIA cables state that upon his arrival at the CIA detention site, Hassan Ghul was examined and placed in a cell, given adequate clothing, bedding, water, and a waste bucket. During this 2-day period, January 2004 and January 2004, Ghul provided information for at least 21 intelligence reports. As detailed below, Ghul's reporting on Chikai, Pakistan, and the Al-Qaeda operatives who resided in or visited Chikai was included in at least 16 of these intelligence reports. The reports included information on the locations, movements, and operational security and training of senior Al-Qaeda leaders living in Chikai, Pakistan, as well as the visits of leaders and operatives to the area. The information provided by Ghul included details on various groups operating in Chikai, Pakistan, and conflicts among the groups. Hassan Ghul also identified and decoded phone numbers and email addresses contained in a notebook seized with him, some of which were associated with Chikai-based operatives. Hassan Ghul described the origins of al-Qaeda's presence in Chikai, including how Abd al-Hadi al-Iraqi became the original group's military commander and its al-Qaeda representative. He discussed tensions between al-Hadi and others in Chikai, the mediating role of Abu Faraj al-Libi, and the role of Khalid Habib. Hassan Ghul explained how he moved to Chikai due to concerns about Abu Musab al-Baluchi's contacts with, redacted, how he traveled to Chikai to make contact with Abd al-Hadi al-Iraqi, and how Abu Faraj mediated between Ghul and Hamza Rabia. Ghul stated that he last saw Abu Faraj in the summer of 2003, when Ghul was seeking Abu Faraj's assistance in moving money from Saudi Arabia to deliver to al-Hadi for support of their community in Chikai. According to Hassan Ghul, Abd al-Hadi al-Iraqi moved periodically among various houses within the village, including that of Abu Hussein and Redacted, whom he described as senior media people for al-Qaeda. Elaborating on al-Hadi's location, Hassan Ghul described the importance of both a madrasa and a guest house in Chikai, known as the Bachelor House, where unaccompanied men stayed. Ghul stated that he last saw al-Hadi in December 2003, when al-Hadi came to the Bachelor House to visit with other Arabs. Ghul also identified other permanent and transient residents of the Bachelor House. He stated that al-Hadi, who he believed was seeking another safe house in Chikai at which to hold meetings, had approximately 40 to 50 men under his command. Hassan Ghul also identified a phone number used to contact al-Hadi. According to Hassan Ghul, as of December 2003, approximately 60 Arab males and between 150 and 200 Turkic or Uzbek males were living in Chikai, along with a significant population of Baluchis who assisted the Arabs and Uzbeks. Ghul described al-Qaeda training, including an electronics course taught in the fall of 2003 by Abu Bakr al-Suri at the house of Hamza Rabia, where he believed individuals were being trained for an ongoing operation. Ghul discerned from the training and Rabia's statements that al-Qaeda operatives in Chikai were involved in an assassination attempt against Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf. Ghul stated Hamza Rabia was also likely planning operations into Afghanistan, but had no specifics. Hassan Ghul elaborated on numerous other al-Qaeda operatives he said resided in or visited Chikai, Pakistan, including Sheikh Saeed al-Masri, Sharif al-Masri, Abu Maryam, Janat Ghul, Khalil Deek, Abu Tala al-Pakistani, Firas, and others. Finally, Hassan Ghul described his interactions with Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, which also related to al-Qaeda figures in Chikai, in particular, Abd al-Hadi al-Iraqi. Ghul described al-Zarqawi's request to al-Hadi for money, explosive experts, and electronic experts, and provided details of his own trip to Iraq on behalf of al-Hadi. Hassan Ghul identified 4 email addresses for contacting al-Zarqawi directly. and described a phone code he would use to communicate with al-Zarqawi. Gul also described his conversations with al-Zarqawi, interpreted the notes he had taken of the last of his conversations with al-Zarqawi, identified operatives whom al-Zarqawi and al-Hadi agreed to send to Iraq, and discussed strategic differences between al-Zarqawi and al-Hadi related to Iraq. On January, redacted, 2004, after 2 days at detention site Cobalt, during which Hassan Gul provided the aforementioned information about al-Qaeda activities in Chikai and other matters, Gul was transferred to the CIA's detention site Black. Gul was immediately and for the first time subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. He was shaved and barbered, stripped, and placed in the standing position. According to a CIA cable, Hassan Gul provided no new information during this period and was immediately placed in standing sleep deprivation with his hands above his head, with plans to lower his hands after 2 hours. In their request to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Gul, CIA detention site personnel wrote, "The interrogation team believes, based on Hassan Gul's reaction to the initial contact, that his al-Qaeda briefings and his earlier experiences with U.S. military interrogators have convinced him there are limits to the physical contact interrogators can have with him. The interrogation team believes the approval and employment of enhanced measures should sufficiently shift Hassan Gul's paradigm of what he expects to happen. The lack of these increased measures may limit the team's capacity to collect critical and reliable information in a timely manner." CIA headquarters approved the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Hassan Gul in order to sufficiently shift Gul's paradigm of what he can expect from the interrogation process and to increase base's capability to collect critical and reliable threat information in a timely manner.
Note, 2123. Headquarters. DDO Pavitt expressed his personal congratulations to the interrogators at detention site Cobalt, who elicited information from Hassan Gul prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Pavitt's message stated, "In the short time Gul was at your location, interrogators made excellent progress and generated what appears to be a great amount of highly interesting information and leads. This is exactly the type of effort with a detainee that will win the war against al-Qaeda. With the intelligence station has obtained from Gul, we will be able to do much damage to the enemy."
CIA records do not indicate that information provided by Gul during this period or after resulted in the identification or capture of any al-Qaeda leaders. After his arrival at detention site Black, Gul was asked to identify locations on redacted and line drawings of Chikai provided to him for the first time by interrogators. Hassan Gul's reporting on Chikai prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was compiled by the CIA for passage to the Pakistani government. On January 28, 2004, Redacted issued a cable stating that the information on Chikai provided by Hassan Gul prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, combined with reporting unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program, moved Chikai to the forefront, redacted, and that, as a result, station is currently revising its Chikai, redacted. On January 29, 2004, Alec Station proposed that, redacted, initiate a discussion with the Pakistanis on possible Arabs in Chikai, and concurred with a tear line that requests that Pakistan undertake to verify the presence of a large number of Arabs in Chikai as soon as possible. On January 31, 2004, CIA's redacted drafted with an extensive tear line for Pakistan, much of it related to Chikai. The cable from redacted referenced 9 cables describing Hassan Gul's reporting prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and no cables describing Gul's reporting after the use of the techniques. The cable from redacted then stated that station sees the type of information coming from Hassan Gul's interrogations as perfect fodder for pressing Pakistan into action against redacted associates of Hassan Gul in Pakistan, redacted, and other terrorist redacted in Pakistan, redacted. The tear line for Pakistan included extensive information provided by Hassan Gul prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. On February 3, 2004, CIA headquarters requested that the tear line be passed to the Pakistanis, but deferred to, redacted, on the portions dealing with Shikai. As CIA's redacted informed CIA headquarters on February 9, 2004, it intended to hold the information on Shikai until the DCI's visit to Pakistan the following day. As Station noted, this tear line will provide critical, redacted. In the meantime and afterwards, additional tear lines were prepared for the Pakistanis that were based primarily on reporting from Hassan Gul prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, combined with Gul's subsequent reporting and information from sources unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program. In July 2004, the CIA assessed, redacted, that Al-Qaeda's operatives, redacted, are continuing with their activities and waiting for the situation to normalize in the tribal areas. In particular, Al-Qaeda's senior operatives who were in Shikai before the military's offensive remained in South Waziristan as of mid-June 2004. Later, in December 2005, a CIA detainee profile of Hassan Gul assessed that the information provided by Gul confirmed earlier reporting in CIA's possession that the Shikai Valley of Pakistan served as Al-Qaeda's command and control center after the group's 2001 exodus from Afghanistan. Hassan Gul was redacted and later released. Redacted. 12. Information on the facilitator that led to the UBL operation. Shortly after the raid on the Osama bin Laden UBL compound on May 1, 2011, which resulted in UBL's death, CIA officials described the role of reporting from the CIA's detention and interrogation program in the operation, and in some cases connected the reporting to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques.
Note, 2137. In addition to classified representations to the committee, shortly after the operation targeting UBL on May 1, 2011, there were media reports indicating that the CIA's detention and interrogation program had produced the lead information that led to Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, the UBL compound, and/or the overall operation that led to UBL's death. In an interview with Time magazine published May 4, 2011, Jose Rodriguez, the former CIA chief of CTC, stated that information provided by KSM and Abu Faraj al-Libi about bin Laden's courier was the lead information that eventually led to the location of bin Laden's compound and to the operation that led to his death. Former CIA Director Michael Hayden stated that what we got, the original lead information, and frankly it was incomplete identity information on the couriers, began with information from CIA detainees at the black sites. In another interview, Hayden stated, "The lead information I referred to a few minutes ago did come from CIA detainees against whom enhanced interrogation techniques have been used." Former Attorney General Mukasey wrote, "Consider how the intelligence that led to bin Laden came to hand. It began with a disclosure from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, who broke like a dam under the pressure of harsh interrogation techniques that included waterboarding. He loosed a torrent of information, including eventually the nickname of a trusted courier of bin Laden. The CIA's June 2013 response confirms information in the committee study stating, even after undergoing enhanced techniques, KSM lied about Abu Ahmad, and Abu Faraj denied knowing him. The CIA's September 2012 Lessons from the Hunt for Bin Laden, compiled by the CIA's Center for the Study of Intelligence, indicates that the CIA sought to publicly attribute the UBL operation to detainee reporting months prior to the execution of the operation. Under the heading The Public Rollout, the Lessons from the Hunt for Bin Laden document explains that the CIA's Office of Public Affairs was formally brought into the UBL operation in late March 2011. The document states that the material OPA prepared for release was intended to describe the hunt and the operation, among other matters. The document details how, prior to the operation, agreed-upon language was developed for three vital points, the first of which was the critical nature of detainee reporting in identifying bin Laden's courier.
The vast majority of the documents, statements, and testimony highlighting information obtained from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, or from CIA detainees more generally, was inaccurate and incongruent with CIA records. CIA records indicate that, 1. The CIA had extensive reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, the UBL facilitator whose identification and tracking led to the identification of UBL's compound and the operation that resulted in UBL's death prior to and independent of information from CIA detainees. 2. The most accurate information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, obtained from a CIA detainee, was provided by a CIA detainee who had not yet been subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and 3. CIA detainees who were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques withheld and fabricated information about Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. Within days of the raid on UBL's compound, CIA officials represented that CIA detainees provided the tip-off information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. A review of CIA records found that the initial intelligence obtained, as well as the information the CIA identified as the most critical or the most valuable on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, was not related to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The CIA did not receive any information from CIA detainees on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti until 2003. Nonetheless, by the end of 2002, the CIA was actively targeting Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti and had collected significant reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti to include reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's close links to UBL. CIA records indicate that prior to receiving any information from CIA detainees, the CIA had collected reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's telephonic activity. A phone number associated with Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was under U.S. government intelligence collection as early as January 1, 2002. In March 2002, this phone number would be found in Abu Zubaydah's address book under the heading Abu Ahmad K. In April 2002, the same phone number was found to be in contact with UBL family members. In June 2002, a person using the identified phone number and believed at the time to be al-Kuwaiti called a number associated with KSM. All of this information was acquired in 2002.